Producer Summit is in full swing in Nashville. The Top Producer of the Year Awards Banquet was last night, and the in-person sessions continue today. And I wish I was in person with the group in Nashville. But thanks to Clifton Larson Allen, we'll make it work and still bring you coverage from TPS.
Live from inside the iceberg via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Paul Niefer, then it's Chris Hesse and Robbie Walker, all from Clifton Larson Allen. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you, and...
Yeah, buddy.
Yes, I am live from my broadcast bunker and not from Nashville, Tennessee. The guys on location, as I was making my way down there yesterday... Mm-hmm. They made the phone call and said, no, turn it around, head back. It doesn't
got the
look
stand
really
down
good.
Order.
I did. I got the stand down. Doggone it, man.
Yeah,
that
I know
was,
it.
That was a lot of planning went into it, but we'll still bring you the coverage from TPS and looking forward to that as well. Getting to know the Top Producer of the Year Award finalists.
Yes.
We'll get to know them this afternoon. I'm looking forward to that conversation with those guys. Great group.
And dare I say, perhaps an added measure of disappointment at being turned around and sent back home. You know, this was going to be like the first one where, you know, after all the COVID stuff and after everybody's, oh, no, we're just going to do it virtual. It'll be fine. Well, you know, that's great. Still great content and everything, but... Man, that one-to-one stuff, that face-to-face deal, that's exciting. I know. See, I'm a bit of an introvert, but I know for you especially, you love that kind of thing. That's your milieu, bro.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to being with another group. It's been since August when we did some of the farm journal field days.
Right.
We actually had a live event in August. But since then it's been pretty much stay at home and keep the information flow going. So
yeah,
and that's
I don't even know
do.
Where my suitcases are right now. I think I've still got them.
It felt weird packing on Sunday night. It did. I'm like, let's see, how do you do this? I got to remember. Yeah. crazy. But the folks at Clifton Larson Allen worked with us and made sure that we've got some very important content for you guys. We're going to be talking about some of the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, some of the issues that we are dealing with there. We'll have that conversation with Paul Niefer, Chris Hesse. We've got a conversation with Chris coming up at the bottom of the hour that is all about we talk a lot about the Biden tax plan and what it might mean for agriculture and small businesses in general going forward. And then at the end of the show, we're going to hear from Robbie Walker and learn a little bit more about CLA. So looking forward to that as well. Looking forward
to it. Very good.
All right, man.
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and get to the news. What do you got?
Well, Chip, in case you hadn't heard, frigid weather crippled Texas's power system over the weekend and sent energy prices soaring to record levels, with at least 5 million people impacted. More than 1 million barrels per day of oil and 10 billion with a B, cubic feet of gas production are shut in, while pipelines have declared force majeure and massive refineries have halted gasoline and diesel output. Natural gas futures are trading at their highest level since last November, up about 5.6%. Gas futures up around 5.2%. That's as of earlier this morning. And Chip, just to put it in perspective, that 1 million barrels per day of crude production equates to roughly 10% of daily U.S. production.
Wow.
This is a big deal.
Oh, it's a very big deal. It's a very big deal. We're having to pull natural gas from its intended destination, put it back into the system, and ship it down south so that they can fire up the natty gas generators.
Right.
It's incredible what is happening out there. We're seeing some reaction in the energy markets as well. But boy, people are having to deal with situations that they just are not accustomed to dealing with down in the southern areas. Just historic cold temperatures.
Well, the United States is reportedly running out of legal borrowing authority. Democrats chose not to include an increase in the federal debt ceiling in President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package, leaving the issue to be addressed later this year. That decision means Democrats will either have to include a debt limit increase in a second tax and spending package that's likely to pass along party lines, or negotiate with Republicans, dun, 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 to have it added to another bill. If Congress does not act by late summer or early fall, the U.S. will run out of legal borrowing capacity. That's according to estimates from the Bipartisan Policy Center. Chip?
Yeah. I don't know why they make such a big deal out of this. I mean, it's
They'll work it out.
Unbelievable that we are, you know, that we have maxed out our line of credit again. But that is the case, and they're going to increase it. It's what they do. Just get it done.
Right.
It seems ridiculous.
China is said to be exploring whether it can harm U.S. defense contractors by limiting supplies of rare earth minerals, this according to the Financial Times. Industry executives said government officials had asked them how badly firms in the U.S. and Europe would be affected if China restricted rare earth exports during a bilateral dispute. Now, Chip, rare earths are used in everything from smartphones to fighter jets. China controls most of the world's mining and has an even tighter hold on processing of those minerals. Min Zhenpei said that Chinese foreign policy today is driven by three things. First, perceived U.S. decline. Second, perceived opportunity for China in becoming more active on the world stage. And finally, President Xi Jinping's own ambition. Chip.
Yeah, you know what else some of those rare earth minerals are used in is the production of batteries, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why not go ahead and get the country all fired up on EVs and then turn off the supply of the rare earth minerals? The electric vehicles, we've talked about how great it is to be independent of some of the oil-producing countries out there. Well, we fire up all the EVs, we're going to make ourselves dependent on China for some of those rare earths.
Yeah, let's find a whole new country to be dependent upon for resources.
Exactly, yeah.
While more than 64,900 new infections of COVID-19 were reported on Sunday, it was the country's lowest case count since October. Just last month, reported infections were topping 200,000 per day. California, one of the states hit hardest by the pandemic, reported its lowest daily case increase since early November. That comes amid a steady decline, not only in new infections, but in hospitalizations and deaths as well. Chip, the CDC said Friday it will not currently recommend mandatory COVID-19 testing before domestic air travel. That's a couple of pieces of good news there.
Yeah, I guess it is. And the pattern, the trend is going in the right direction. That's good news.
And finally, some 62% of U.S. adults say the parties do such a poor job representing the American people that a third political party is needed. That's according to a Gallup poll. In the poll, Republicans were nearly as likely as independents to hold this view, representing a dramatic shift for Republicans since last September. Chip.
Well, there is the party of Trump that we've talked about more than once on this show. And the libertarians, they're... And it looks like there is some serious consideration among groups of people toward forming new political parties out there. Okay, we are going to have a conversation with Paul Niefer coming up next here. Paul is presenting at Top Producer Seminar, Top Producer Summit. We'll get the details of that next. Hey, everybody. Chip Flora here. I've got a great deal for you to tap into all the information at the 2021 Top Producer Summit. You don't have to travel. It's all online, and I'll pick up half the tab. That's right, because you listen to AgriTalk, Top Producer is working with us to take your fee from $150 down to $75. Use promo code AgriTalk when you register at tpsummit.com. It's a half-price deal only for AgriTalk listeners. Use promo code AgriTalk at tpsummit.com.
Hey.
This year, you can attend Commodity Classic without leaving your farm. The 2021 special edition of Commodity Classic delivered digitally March 2nd through 5th. Register at CommodityClassic.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Glad that you can join us today. We are bringing you coverage from Nashville and the Top Producer Summit, even though neither myself or my next guest, Paul Niefer from Clifton Larson Allen, neither of us made it to Nashville, but we are still proud to be bringing you coverage from Top Producer Summit. And thank you, big time thank you, to Clifton Larson Allen for making that possible. Everybody knows Paul Niefer, Clifton Larson Allen, at Farm CPA on Twitter. He's a regular contributor to agweb.com, and we just doggone rely on Paul when it comes to tax and farm policy issues. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great at minus 17 in Southwest Missouri. I didn't think I'd ever say that in the middle of February, but that is what it is.
My goodness. Yeah, we're about 12 degrees below zero, something like that this morning up in northeast Iowa. So this cold really has dipped deep into the middle of the country, no question about that.
Yep.
Doggone it, man. A year ago, Top Producer Summit was like one of the last things that we got to do before everything started shutting down. We were going to try to get there, and then the weather took it away from us. It's hard to believe, Paul.
Yeah, I know. But so that just means we need to have Top Producer in like Orlando. I think that's
bingo.
What it's telling us. So,
ding, ding, ding. Love it. Okay, we've got some issues that we want to get into, but we've got to start with an update on the Paycheck Protection Program and how it was used or is being misused in farming. What is the latest update here, Paul?
The latest is it's sort of messy. I think it's being charitable about it. The Consolidated Appropriation Act put in a new provision for farmers that allowed self-employed farmers that filed a Schedule F to use gross income off of line 9. Because most farmers, when they filed their return in 19, they had a lot of income over on form 4797, but they didn't, they might have showed a loss on Schedule F. So I think some of the farm state senators put in this provision because it was actually part of the HEALS Act. And so what is happening is, you know, SBA in conjunction, I think maybe with the USDA and so on, there's a bunch of, how do I want to say this? Some banks are interpreting it one way, other banks are interpreting it another way. Some SBA people in certain states are interpreting it one way versus another. And right now, what it appears that's going on is that a sole proprietor, you know, that typical farmer that just files a Schedule F on the return, they automatically qualify. Some areas, the SBA seems to be allowing partnerships to qualify. I just got an email, I think 2 days ago, where an S corporation is being allowed to use line 9 of because they filed a Schedule F with their corporate return, which they normally don't do. So it appears that it's the wild, wild west out there right now. Now, we've been having discussions with DC and so on, trying to get this resolved, trying to get some good clarity, but nothing has come out yet that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. It sounds to me, Paul, like we're finding out why it normally takes 10 months to roll out a program like PPP rather than what was it, 6 weeks, 8 weeks that they took to roll this one out. Just some of the details seem to have been overlooked. Give us some examples.
Well, another thing is, again, for that farmer that didn't qualify or didn't apply the first go around, now they go ahead and apply this go around. Well, they then also qualify for a second round because they had gross receipts that were 25% less. What SBA is seeming to state to them is they have to wait at least 8 weeks before they can apply for that second round. Well, 8 weeks going to put them past March 31st, where suddenly, this program is set to expire. So, that's very messy right now. And then the definition of gross receipts, I actually did a blog post on it last night. I think we're getting some additional clarity on that, and there's going to be winners and losers. Some people with them excluding equipment gains may actually qualify for a second loan. Other farmers will not qualify. So, anytime you have a program like this and the provision in the CAA was only about two lines long, so it didn't really tell us much. So that's why it's definitely open to interpretation.
How's this going to resolve? What is this going to look like when everything's all wrapped up?
Yeah, I think what it's going to look like is I think the SBA has got enough leeway and probably getting enough pressure right now from, I'm going to say, some of the, you know, the farm state senators and House mm-hmm. people that I think they're going to even open it up a little bit more, because I think what they're finding out right now is they're not running out of money. You know, they still got plenty of money in the program. So, and I think their goal is to get rid of the money. So I think farmers are probably going to come out pretty good.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Hey, we've got a couple of decisions that are going to be made here in the next month or so, and we've got some deadlines coming up. One of those deadlines is on crop insurance. The other one is on program participation sign up, ARC versus PLC. I know that this is something that Clifton Larson Allen helps producers to identify what is the right program for them to sign up for, right?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah, matter of fact, I just had a call yesterday from a farm neighbor of mine up in Washington State, and we were going through the options, and I gave him my advice, and it was the advice he thought that he was going to go with, but it was just nice to get a confirmation.
Right. What do you do? Tell us about that conversation. What are some of the markers in the decision-making that you go through?
Well, the markers are, now in that situation, our state right now has a very good snow cover. Matter of fact, at my house, I have almost 3 feet of snow. I mean, I'm not there yet, but I've heard that we've got 3 feet of snow. So we know the wheat crop that was planted last fall has got more than enough moisture to get to the finish line. Now, if we get some heat at the end of May, that might stunt it a little bit. But if a person is thinking about going ARC, the price is up. We know the price is not going to drop down that much. Right. So the only way ARC is ever going to make a payment is if you have a 20 to 30% reduction in yield, for the county. Yeah. And likely this year, that's not going to happen. So for that particular grower, I'm saying, hey, we're going to go PLC because there's still a chance. Remember that 21 crop year for wheat doesn't start till June 1. There's a lot of things that can happen between June 1 of this year and May 31st of next year. So that's why we definitely are leaning toward PLC.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Very good. What are you going to be talking to the group later? Even though you're not in Nashville, you're still presenting, right?
Yep. And it was designed more of an in-person thing. So actually I was leading off with the Biden tax plan, which I think my partner, Chris Hesse, is going to talk about a little bit later on. And then it was going to be open for questions. It was sort of ask the farm CPA. So that was what we were going to do at Top Producer, is make it more. I was going to spend about 20 minutes on the Biden tax plan. And then I'm guessing, you know, they'll probably have questions in regards to PPP and the employee retention credit, which that's going to be a big credit for our farmers. Matter of fact, I had a call yesterday with a farmer in Arkansas, and I think the credit for them just for 2020 was going to be almost $40,000 plus. Wow. They qualified for a PPP loan. So, and then in 2021, they might be looking at another $50,000 or $60,000 credit. So that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Tell us more about how that employee retention credit works.
So I'm going to key in on 2021. So if your gross receipts for the first quarter or second quarter of 2021 are 20% less than they were for the same quarter of 19, not 20, but the same quarter of 19, you automatically qualify. You don't have to do anything else. And the credit is 70% of up to $10,000 of wages per employee for each quarter. So if you're paying, let's say, 10 employees, $40,000 a year, that's 14,000 times 10. That's $140,000 credit that you get refunded from Uncle Sam. So it's the same as cash. So it's a pretty big deal for our larger farm operations that have employees.
Certainly is. Certainly is. Good grief. What do you got planned for the rest of the winter, Paul?
I'm cranking out tax returns. You know, I got this is my second to last full year of cranking out tax returns, and then I get to be more of a farm CPA that just does purely farm consulting. So I'm sort of looking forward to that.
Sounds great, man. Sounds great. Well, I wish we could have been in Nashville together, but it was still really good to have a conversation with you, Paul. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Chip.
That is Paul Niefer at FarmCPA on Twitter. He blogs for us on agweb.com. And he is a sponsor, along with Clifton Larson Allen, of our coverage of Top Producers Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Hey everybody, Chip Flory here. I've got a great deal for you to tap into all the information at the 2021 Top Producer Summit. You don't have to travel, it's all online, and I'll pick up half the tab. That's right, because you listen to AgriTalk, Top Producer is working with us to take your fee from $150 down to $75. Use promo code AgriTalk when you register at tpsummit.com. It's a half price deal only for AgriTalk listeners. Use promo code AgriTalk at tpsummit.com.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beej, I got a little news for you here. There's some disruptions at the packing plants. National Beef Plant, Creekstone, and Arkansas City are down. That's due to a natural gas shortage. There are some other issues that are, and some other plants that are experiencing some disruptions out there. Dude, this is going to be hard for a market to handle that is looking that we were hopeful was going to see some strength in the cash this week, right?
Yeah, you know, short-term supply disruptions, obviously, it's playing out more in the hog market than the cattle market so far this morning. But I think that's something we need to watch closely. I'm also hearing some ethanol plants are slowing production and selling natural gas to yep. to alleviate some of the supply and take advantage of the huge run up in spot prices there.
Yeah, absolutely. This is it's an emergency situation getting that fuel down to where it needs to be to fire up the generators. Hey, what's going on in the grain markets, quick?
Well, wheat market, that's been the story so far this morning with the just bitterly cold temperatures late last week through the weekend and now here early this week and the impact that'll have on the winter wheat crop. Now, we won't know until spring for sure, but there's probably some damage. We do know that with pretty decent certainty. We just don't know the level of damage. Corn market, it's trading to the upside along with wheat, soybeans. They're trading the upside, but the meal market is now starting to pull down. So that's something to watch into the close.
Very good. Thank you, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Dribble Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Work like a dog on Friday. Punch that clock and cash that check. Raise a little hell to Sunday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is here. Davis.
Hello.
Everything
yes,
good?
Sir.
Hey, we're in Nashville. At Top Producer Summit, TPS, 2021. Mm-hmm. Big thank you to Clifton Larson Allen for making it possible for AgriTalk to bring you coverage from Nashville and TPS. And Davis, speaking of Clifton Larson Allen, let's bring in Chris Hesse. He is with CLA. Just a little history for you here real quick. Chris and I have been on many a seminar road together over the years. Back together right now to talk about what's happening out there. Chris, hey, man, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Chip. It has been a long time, but, yes. I haven't needed to be spending quite so much time with you because you're in such good hands with Paul Niefer, my partner with Clifton Larson Allen. I just don't need to be as heavily involved with it.
Yeah. I tell you, and Paul knows how much we appreciate all the work that he does for AgWeb, for AgriTalk, for farmers, and bringing perspective not only on tax issues, but farm program payments, stuff like that, Chris. Really, really a valuable asset that you've got at Clifton Larson Allen. So Good stuff. Good stuff. What are you up to at CLA now?
Well, I'm part of our national tax office, and I answer questions from people throughout the firm, and I'm the agricultural tax guy in our national tax office. Paul and I really deal with all of the agricultural tax issues, and I guess the other thing that I've been involved in recently is I'm currently the chairman of the American Institute of CPAs Tax Executive Committee. Now, what that committee does is we set the tax policy for all of the CPAs across the country. So we get into legislation and advocating for guidance and advocating for regulations. And I got to tell you, I don't think there's been somebody with a farm background in this position before.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Chris, to me, that makes it sound like you influence what the language on the tax policies, how it reads. Is that right?
We certainly have had influence on that.
Cool.
Both Paul and I have. And, well, of course, the most recent one that we feel successful at is this issue with the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP loans and their deductibility. And as you know, Paul's written about it. The IRS came out last April saying that, well, these expenses aren't deductible to the extent that you had this forgiveness on the loan. And we said, that's not right. We all knew that Congress intended for this to be a truly tax-exempt loan forgiveness. And we pushed back against IRS, but as we all know, once a government official, in this case it was Secretary Mnuchin, sets his foot down and says, no, this is the way it is, you're not going to get him to move off of it. So what do? You go to Congress and advocate for, you got to clarify the law and make this right. And that's what happened at the end of December when President Trump signed that legislation. We have included in that legislation the full deductibility of these expenses that the farmers spent for their PPP loans.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Good stuff. Good work. Good work on that, Chris. When we talk about tax language and new tax policy, President Biden made it an issue when he basically said, listen, we're going to raise taxes. Is that something that you're working on now, making sure and working with legislators on what that new tax policy might look like?
We really haven't yet. Just knowing that the administration is got other things going on right now. There's a lot of stuff with the pandemic being primary, and all indications are that there isn't going to be major tax legislation for 2021, but we do have concerns with regard to once people get vaccinated and things settle down after this pandemic, watch out for tax changes, and especially for the high income people, and then estate taxes.
Right. Talk more about the plans on the estate tax, Chris, because obviously it's not just farmers. In this case, it shouldn't be just farmers. It's not just small business owners. It's guys, it's average Joes out there that might be inheriting a house from a parent that need to be worried about this change or potential change to the estate tax.
Yes, when we say that, well, why should somebody with just a house, for example, or somebody that doesn't have a lot of wealth, why should they be concerned? Well, they have been talking about the elimination here of the step up in basis.
Right.
And as farmers all know, that's a big deal for agriculture. And it's not just your land that gets a step up in basis, but your crops that are in storage that get a step up in basis, and it's deductible then when it's sold by your heirs, and the equipment gets a new basis, so your heirs get to redepreciate the equipment. It's mm-hmm. a big tax benefit. Death being a good thing in the Internal Revenue Code for your heirs, not so good for you, but it does lower your taxes, the heirs' taxes, but the elimination of step-up in basis would be a big issue for all of the people across the country. There's a little bit of movement. We'll have to see and monitor how it goes, but a little bit of movement to say, well, we're not just going to eliminate step-up in basis, but we're going to treat death as a taxable event. And you'd revalue all of your assets at that time and pay income tax, capital gains tax mostly, on the final tax return. There's precedent for this. That's the Canadian model of taxation upon death. So there's unfortunately an already existing model that they can look at for modeling something out for the United States. Right. And we're monitoring that as well.
Okay. A couple of things here real quick. Number one, a quick example of what eliminating the step up in basis would mean. If I inherit a house that my parents bought for $100,000 and the value of that house when I inherit it is $200,000 and I sell it for $205,000, the way things are right now, I would pay tax on the $5,000. If we lose the step up in basis, I would then have to pay tax on $105,000, right?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Crazy,
that's
man.
That's the way that the elimination.
Now do that
works.
10 million times with some of these farms out there. Whoa. It blows me away. Blows me away. Okay. And the other thing that they're looking at doing on the estate tax is reducing the exemptions, right?
Yeah, that's going to be the first target. You can assume that we already have baked into the law that the exemption is going to cut in half for deaths after 2025. But there's a lot of talk about ratcheting that down from, right now it's at around 11.6 million per person, but ratcheting that down to about 3.5 is a discussion.
Right.
Lowering the exemption and increasing the rate. The rate right now federally is 40%. They're talking about 45. Who knows what's finally going to be proposed.
Exactly. Hey, Chris, we've only got about a minute and a half left here, but I got to ask also about Senator Wyden's proposal of taxing unrealized gains. Tell me about that.
Senator Wyden has come out with a proposal, and he's been discussing it and studying it for the last couple of years, about, and this would look more towards the publicly traded stocks, your stock portfolio, for example, and where there's a quote. And at the end of the year, if your stocks have gone up in value, he would assess a capital gains tax on that, even though you haven't sold it.
Oh.
And then there'd be adjustments when you did sell it down the road. But he wants to get that money earlier.
That's crazy. Taxes on unrealized gains is what we're talking about here. Those gains could go away. The stock market could take those gains away, but Wyden wants to tax us first.
Oh, yeah. And in 2020, for example, I think Elon Musk would have needed to come up with about $63 billion of cash to pay that tax on this paper gain that he had in Tesla for 2020.
That's crazy.
Now, where's he going to get that cash?
Right. Right. Yep. That's that. Yeah. You're going to be asking for a big extension on that tax bill. No doubt about it. Chris, it was good to talk with you again. Thank you so much for making time.
I appreciate it, Chip. It's nice talking to you. It's been too long. We need to talk more often.
We will. We will. Thank you so much. That is Chris Hesse. He is the principal at Clifton Larson Allen. Thank you again to CLA for making it possible for AgriTalk to bring you coverage of the Top Producer Summit here in Nashville.
It starts with a plan. That's why America's Conservation Ag Movement is inviting you to get your farm business ready for 2021 with a free Resource Stewardship Planning Guide. Get your free guide today at agweb.com/ACAM.
Welcome back to Ag. We're talking our coverage of Top Producer Summit. We're taking a very tax and policy-oriented view this morning, thanks to the folks at Clifton Larson Allen. And joining us right now so that we can learn more about CLA is Robbie Walker. Robbie is a CPA, principal agribusiness and cooperatives for CLA. Robbie, welcome to AgriTalk. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Chip. Appreciate it.
Hey, I'm glad that you're here. Glad you're with us. When we talk about CLA, and we've talked about for so long with Paul about some of the issues that you are dealing with on a regular basis, and you help those clients with a number of different services other than audit and tax services. Tell us about those other services.
Sure, Chip. Yeah, a lot of people probably recognize CLA for their tax knowledge with, you know, Chris and Paul and the number of other thought leaders that we have on different subjects. And you know, a lot of our clients need assurance work. They need the audit or reviewed or compiled statements to go along with tax returns. But some of the things that a lot of people don't know is we actually help our clients with a lot of other different things. And to be honest with you, sometimes it's a lot more fulfilling and a lot more fun to help them in some of those other things than just the boring assurance and tax sometimes as we get. So I kind of see the other things that we can do in a couple other buckets. So outside of assurance and tax, we can also provide what we call outsourcing. So that means helping our clients in their accounting department or their finance department with any issues that come up in that area. Also, their HR, if they're a large enough organization and they have HR needs, and I guess at any level, everybody has HR needs, we can fill those positions and help there. IT and information security, now with everybody working remote, there's a more of an emphasis on keeping our systems secure, and we can come in and help there, as well as just general management. So outsourcing and everything involved in those is one. The other is wealth advisory that we help our clients with a lot. So with that, you know, is succession planning and estate planning, gifting. That's been super popular and important during 2020, and I think it'll be in 2021, like for a lot of the issues that Chris explained. And, you know, just general wealth advisory and financial planning. You know, do I have enough money to retire? You know, all my money's been tied up in the farm or this processor for years. Should I be putting money elsewhere to diversify and make sure I'm okay through retirement? Those kinds of things. So we get involved with those other areas, not just assurance and tax work.
Right. You know, I'm guaranteeing that people perked right up when they heard you mention IT and information security, Robbie. Give me an example of that.
So, you know, we're seeing more and more, you know, what do they call bad actors, hackers out there that are just trying to get in there. Usually they're trying to get in and get companies to pay the wrong vendor. Change an account, you know, a bank account, tell them, hey, we've updated our bank account. Can you send us $60,000 to this new account instead of this old one? Or they're just, you know, their employees, you know, get an email and it looks legitimate and they click on it. And all of a sudden this hacker has access to your entire system. So we've even been doing something as part of our assurance projects, or even if they don't do an audit, we'll come in and help our clients. We just get in there. We've got a bunch of hackers, you know, that will go into our client systems. We'll mail them a laptop or send them one. And usually, Chip, within like 10 or 15 minutes, we got access to the whole system. And so we can go in and say, look, this is how we got in. This is how other ways people can get in. This is how we could help you train your employees. And it's great. Otherwise, you know, I get a call like I did a couple of years ago from a client that says, look, we've had one of these ransomware attacks, you know, where they lock down your whole system and you can't access it until you give them a couple $1 million. And, you know, I got a call from a client one time like that, and our group got on the ground within a week or so, or within a, over the weekend, got them back up and running. But if it's much better to avoid that by just trying to hack your own system. So we get in and do that for our clients.
Right. Okay, cool. So when you're having a conversation with your clients, how do you identify when that client may be in need of some of these other services? We talked with Paul earlier about, you know, maybe even providing the services of a part-time CFO for a period of time. But the HR, the IT, that's all real interesting. But the conversation has to happen to identify the need first, right?
Yeah, that's right, Chip. And when you're dealing with CPAs, and I'm a CPA, so I'll put myself out there and say, sometimes having that conversation is like pulling teeth, right? It's like getting your CPA on the call is like getting a wealth advisor on the call. You know, it's kind of hard. They're always busy. What we've been doing is teaching our people and trying to change the mindset and become more of a trusted advisor.
Yeah.
This has been something that CPAs, I think, have been trying to do for the past 5 or 10 years, because I think we're getting replaced by machinery computer systems and whatnot. But we're telling our people, look, you need to be on the phone once a month or once a quarter with your clients. You know, prioritize them. I don't know if everybody knows it, but CPAs have favorite clients. And I say, hey, pick your 5, 10 favorite clients, set up a quarterly call with them or a monthly call. And I know this is painful, but just call them and ask them how they're doing. How's business? What's new? And over time, they're going to tell you what's going on, what they need help with. And they need another financial mind that can help them identify problems and help them see solutions and offer to help. Most CPAs want to help. And that's why we got in this profession. So just having a call, listening, and then saying, hey, we'd love to help you. If it's the right fit, let's test it out and see if it works, and we can give you a hand.
Robbie, doing seminars with Chris years ago, decades ago, we identified that CLA was very open to communication with clients. It's continued on with Paul. Now you, that's a big part of what makes CLA different.
Nope, I would agree. I mean, we're not all Paul and we're not all Chris, but we are trying to just change the mindset. The CLA promise is we promise to know you and help you. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to have these conversations so we can really know our clients and then find out how we can help them.
Excellent. Hey, Robbie, thank you so much. Appreciate your time, man.
Hey, thank you, Chip. Pleasure.
You bet. That's Robbie Walker, CPA, Principal Agribusiness and Cooperatives for CLA. You've got to come back this afternoon, everybody. We're going to continue our coverage of TPS. Joe Vaklovic is going to be on the line with us, and we're going to get to know some of the top producer of the year finalists. That's this afternoon right here on AgriTalk. Nothing that I don't, oh, everything I need, and nothing that I don't.